Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In Estonian, would you mind saying, today's guest on the DTFH is Ari Matti. He is currently hiding out in the United States because he got in lots of trouble in Estonia.
Tänane külaline DTF-hoos on Ari Matti. Tämä on praegu Amerika Yhdenriikides, kuin sattus Eestis suurtessa pahandustessa.
That was perfect. Today's guest on the DTFH is Ari Matti. Sorry, I wanted to intro him in Estonian. It's basically just saying today's guest is Ari Matti. Wow. If you're a fan of Kill Tony, you already know who Ari Matti is. He is a hilarious comedian, but he has been doing stand-up much longer than Kill Tony. Ari Matti is essentially a celebrity in Estonia, and he should be. He is so fucking funny, but even better, what a fantastic podcast guest. The conversation you're going to hear is a true emotional roller coaster. We've got kidnapping. We've got hand jobs and bogs. Anything anyone would want from a great podcast. And plus, you're going to get to know one of the stars of Kill Tony, Ari Matti. So everybody, please welcome, for the first time on the DTFH, Ari Matti.
Hell yeah.
Ari.
Let's get it.
Thank you for doing this.
Of course, my friend Duncan.
Man, I got to tell you, you know, like, you've got a buzz, man. Like, so, no, you do. And it's so cool. Like, when, you know a comic's getting a buzz when you're out on the road and people come up to you and they mention you.
Jesus.
They've been to Austin. They saw you and, like, he is so funny. So, I've been thinking about our conversation today. And I've just been thinking how absolutely weird it is that a comedian from Estonia makes his way from Estonia to Thailand. Is this the route? Was it Estonia, Canada, Thailand, or Estonia?
No, it was Estonia. Well, first of all, when I tried stand-up, I didn't even know stand-up the way it was. I don't know how you... Like, what was your first exposure to stand-up?
I needed a job. Oh, as a kid, Bill Cosby, record. My dad had Bill Cosby.
Yeah, record. For me, it was I wanted to download Eddie Murphy's Beverly Hills Cop on peer-to-peer service LimeWire.
Oh,
remember LimeWire?
Yes, of course.
And then sometimes, you know, this peer-to-peer, they would just put a fucking fake audio file, you know, and I would be like, 17 megabytes. Oh, that's going to fit on my computer.
Yep.
Of course, that's not enough for a movie. And it was like Eddie Murphy's Delirious.
Yeah.
And only the audio. And it was the fucking Goonie Goo Goo or whatever.
Yep.
And I remember even as a kid, like laughing, but not knowing why is there an audience? How is it even done?
Yeah.
Like not even knowing that it's a theater stage or a gig or a comedy. And all the references. And then I remember did you guys have Kazaa? It was like a peer-to-peer.
I kind of recall Kazaa is some kind of secondary thing, but we were all using LimeWire over here.
And then I remember I downloaded Dave Chappelle's The Crack Baby.
How old were you?
This is like fucking 14, 13 maybe.
Okay.
The Crack Baby, you know, hey baby, you know, the baby on the corner selling crack.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm a suburban Estonian kid. What do I know about the projects? Also, this is in English that I don't even speak.
Right.
But the talent exceeds the connection that we have to have. Like, I don't know the references he's giving, but the way he's delivering it is already funny.
Yeah, right. You're getting that, like, You see this in a lot of art, too.
A lot of art.
Which is something comes through the mm-hmm. medium mm-hmm. that transcends the medium and you connect to it.
Like when I was 18, I used to work at a jazz club. I was a bouncer.
Oh, wow.
Know nothing about jazz. Literally, I'm mentally, I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to play any instrument. It's magic. When I see somebody playing an instrument, yeah. you might as well. Yeah. I've tried and I just don't have it.
Right.
I just can't. You know, yeah. some guys can just do the guitar.
Sure.
And you're like, did you go to school? They're like, no, I just fiddled.
Yeah.
Fiddled, you know.
yeah. Bastard.
And I remember I worked at this jazz club, also knowing nothing about music.
Yeah.
And we had some Estonian celebrity, he's like a white guy. There was Blues Mondays, and he would do the unplugged version. He was a rock star, really talented guy,
yeah.
classically trained, la 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 la, really classically trained.
Yeah,
great concerts, packed, people are rocking, you know. But then once a month we would get a visitor, and like one Monday I remember I saw some guy from, he was from New Orleans,
wow.
70 years old, missing an eye, smoked his whole life, 3 teeth left.
Yeah.
And maybe 40 people in the crowd, about 20 of them were crying.
Wow.
And I remember watching him perform and the connection, because he's putting his whole soul into that. That's what blues comes from.
Yeah.
He's from where it actually is.
Yeah.
Whereas the white guy, Donnell, he would lala. He sang blues like ha-ha, you know. Still, I couldn't differentiate technically. A musician friend of mine who I got to hang out there,
yeah.
he, of course, told me, no, what Donnell is doing is the basic 1-2 ABCs.
Right.
Somebody explaining stand-up, this is what he's doing. He's doing the hack, fucking ta-ka-ta-ta-ta.
Yeah.
But then the other guy, he's fucking blending art forms, you know.
Yes.
But I didn't know that technically, but my soul picked up on it, you know.
Right.
Same thing with that Eddie Murphy and fucking Dave Chappelle thing. And then I was 20 years old. I moved to Melbourne, Australia.
Okay. Why?
For a girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, wait. But now, before we get into the Melbourne move. Okay. So I realized that I knew nothing about Estonia today.
Nobody
knows. So I started looking into it.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Nothing like what I thought it was.
Holy shit.
So Estonia. Mm-hmm. has the fastest internet on the planet, right? It has incredibly fast internet. You can vote online
in
local elections, which is insane. In this sense, it's obvious we should be doing that. And God knows what this country would be like if we found a way to vote online versus the way we do it.
They don't have to get a bank account here and they're come into the office. I'm like, the office?
Yeah.
You have offices?
Yeah.
Let me log in.
Yeah. So you can, everything can be done online.
Everything.
And also, Estonia produces the most supermodels of any other country in the world per capita. So you have this beautiful, beautiful population and way more women.
Way more women.
Than men.
Yeah.
Something 85 women per 50 men or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, 73.88 models per million inhabitants.
Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom.
Most people do not know that models from Estonia are one of the most valued models in the fashion world, which is crazy. So,
because we got raped by everybody, the genetic pool.
That's the dark side. You guys.
My baby blue eyes come from Viking raping.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that is another question I have for you before you get to, have you done genealogy on yourself? Do you know where it
we
goes
can't
back
even
to?
Do that, you know, because, yeah, I know Americans can because you all have your records. We got bombed by every country. So,
every country.
Yeah, yeah. I'm half Finnish,
Russian,
half Ukrainian.
You've been invaded by
everybody.
How many times have you invaded by Germany? Three times, twice.
Yeah, and then Middle Ages. Maybe somebody came through too.
Many times,
many
Russia,
times, yeah.
And I'm sorry to mansplain to you about your own country, but I know a lot of people probably
absolutely
watching might
no,
not
course.
Know much about Estonia.
Of course,
the most insane thing that I stumbled upon was that you pulled off a non-violent singing revolution.
Yeah, singing revolution. Yeah, yeah.
Can you tell me about that.
So there's the Baltic chain from, so the Baltics are Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. So we all held hands from Lithuania to Estonia and we just sang the Russian army. Well, to be fair, let's just say the Soviet Union was collapsing anyway and we just kicked the guy while he's down and sang a little nice song, you know. It wasn't exactly like they were at the prime, you know.
Okay, so yeah, okay. Well, that's still though, like I have never heard.
Also, when a regime collapses, I've always wondered this, you know, it's like, because there's a Russian, there were tanks everywhere, you know, it's
yeah.
like occupation, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're under a regime, you're on a tank, you're a soldier, you have your superiors. But when a regime collapses, it's like when a business shuts down. They never tell you, oh, next week we're going to shut it down.
You're right.
You know, so... So for all these soldiers too, imagine you're in a fucking country that you've invaded. You're on, you're doing the
Fuck.
Lord's work as you think.
Yeah.
And then one point you call, nobody picks up, and now you're just a guy on a tank. You know.
What do you do?
Well, what you do is you sell. You know, all these American businessmen came over by the helicopters, the submarines, the fucking tanks. Yeah, yeah.
Fire so. Sale. Just oh, go yeah. over and just
because you have a tank now.
Holy shit! So okay.
Yeah.
So. Your population is just a crazy genetic amalgam of
yeah.
so many different
and invaders. Culturally, you know, because we have our own language, we have our own history, but yeah. we got oppressed. So culturally also, okay, maybe the only upside of the Soviet Union, at least what happened in Estonia, was we have so many fucking theaters. Beautiful.
Yeah.
A town of 1,000 people has an 800-seater. Beautiful, you know, because yeah. that's what... Because if you're a fucking dictatorship, what the Soviets did really correctly was you need to control culture,
yes.
right? You need to control. You need to entertain people. You need to get them out into a theater.
Yeah.
Because you need to give them culture. Because people will be. That's how you really control people.
Yes.
It's not with the money and the guns. You have to control their mind.
Yes.
That's why when, like, I read a really interesting article about a teacher in America who went to North Korea. She thought that she's going to plant the seed of doubt into the students. But she goes over there and she writes this article about how she goes over there and she understands that, holy shit, she can't even plant the seed if there's no even model of behavior in the children where they're like, why is that? They've never even asked that question. So she had to start from the ABCs, you know.
Wow.
So the same thing what Russia did. You have to control subculture too. You have
yeah.
to, because if you lose control of culture, people are going to make some witty songs. People are going to make songs like Fight the Power.
Yeah.
The riffs are going to be fire.
Yeah.
You need to keep people from riffing.
Yeah, you know? That's the scary thing about what's happening right now. You've got like in the United States, you've got like Hillary Clinton talking about like shutting Kamala Harris, talking about like shutting down Twitter.
Yeah.
You have like all the all the stuff
exactly.
that you need to do.
Because it all starts from the open mics.
That's right.
Some guy goes, hey,
yeah.
why do we gotta go and fucking fuck the coupons of bread, you know?
Yeah.
And then some people are like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, man.
So what Russia did, they control everything, every theater play, you know, so you control the subculture, the subconscious. You need to keep the subconscious under control. That's how you control a fucking person.
So I interviewed Yakov Smirnov, and he was
my OG. I love this guy.
Do you know him?
Of course.
Oh, so
I mean,
cool.
I'm the new, this is passing of the torch.
Yeah, I guess it is.
He's the OG.
He's the OG, and he told me that he would have to go into like a ministry of comedy or entertainment and give them his set list.
Of course.
And they would read his jokes and stamp it and say, you could do these jokes for a year.
Of course.
And then you've got to come back and present your new jokes.
Of course.
That level of control, it's terrifying.
So when you have a small country that's been invaded and you have all these theaters, so the theater culture exists. So people still go out by the Soviet influence, of course. So we have this theater, we have this beautiful.
Yeah.
But then... of course, the resentment starts seeding into the people. And then in 1991, the union collapses.
Yeah.
Now, all this explosion of oppression from music, comedy,
wow.
sketches.
Wow.
Because...
the holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The new year means new health goals, not just for your body, but for your finances too. But did you know financial health is directly related to identity protection? You need LifeLock because your personal info is in endless places that are outside of your control. It only takes one mistake, and not even your mistake, to expose you to identity theft and lost funds. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points per second and alerts you to threats you could miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your subscription money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other financial losses from identity theft alone. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
In order to have a big release of culture, you need to have a lot of tension.
Right.
You know, that's why comedy is killing in America right now.
Right.
A lot of tension.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. And imagine that release of culture. We have amazing music. And when stand-up started, I mean, me and another guy who I'm recording the podcast later, Sander, we were the first Estonians, were part of the first. There was more, 5-6 guys about. But that that need of like, because the remnants of the Soviet occupation and the old regime still stayed. It's not like a regime collapses and we're all new people now.
Right.
It takes 10-15 years for the palate to clear out. And really, because even now, people are still like, oh, you're cursing on television. That's not, you know, that's not the older generation.
Right.
But it just needs to, you know, clear out. And when I would watch television as a kid, I would see all these sketches, you know, the husband comes home, hello, my dear, who...
Right.
Who says hello, my dear, to their wife? You hate her. You've been married for 30 years. You have a cunt of a kid. You don't. If you're married for 30 years, you don't even talk to your wife. You just, this is a roommate that's annoying. So we would watch this, and all the young people, my generation, we would all be like, we're not going to get entertained by this.
Right.
So then when YouTube comes around, stand-up comedy comes around, now we have this platform to be like, fuck everything.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Wow.
So there's really a surge. I mean, I went from our open mics. I mean, I've done open mics in front of 1,000 people when we started doing open mic.
That is crazy.
Open mic, 1,000 people.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, that's Kiltony has become the open mic for millions of people.
Absolutely.
The most insane form of open mic ever. So that was almost familiar terrain for you when you started
Yeah, kind of. And I remember I went into theater, because I started, anyway, I went from Melbourne for a Girl, started there, learned about the actual comedy, because before I just thought the Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle. In my head, I thought I'll get UFC middleweight title, might pick up the light heavyweight, might fuck John Jones on the way. That was in my head. I was like, I'll do that. And then on the side, maybe an HBO, you know, a little special. I'm funny. I kill at the jiu-jitsu gym.
So you had... And I think that's an important thing, by the way, to
delusion.
Have that kind of delusion. If you have that nice, healthy delusion, it can get you further than not. Like, you don't want to go into it fully understanding the probability of anything happening at all. Like, that's a good...
Yeah.
And also, probably martial arts helps. So, wait. Okay, Melbourne. Mm-hmm. This girl, you met her in Estonia?
I met her backpacking through Southeast. I used to be a big backpacker.
Okay. And okay, another thing I read about Estonia... Like, it's all bogs and forests.
A lot of bogs.
Massive forests and bogs. So probably since you were
quiet.
And you went out there with your folks?
Yeah,
when you were
of course.
A kid.
Quiet. Yeah.
So then, okay.
Nothing like the ocean air, the breeze, the bog, the silence.
Bogs, you know, when I hear bog, I don't think beauty. Like, I think quicksand pits.
It's amazing.
I don't know. I've been
think
in marshes.
Think of a bog during winter when it freezes.
Okay.
And a coat of snow, you know, and snow is sound isolating. You can hear your heartbeat when you're sitting alone in a forest in Estonia, you know. That's how quiet it gets.
Can you pull up an Estonian bog, please? I'd love to see that.
And you're alone there.
See.
Look at this.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's when I think bog, I think like Lord of the Rings, Mordor. It's more like a marsh.
A finger, the girl.
Yeah, all right, can you zoom in on that? Can you zoom in? Is there a way to zoom it? Can you zoom in on that, Josh? Make that bigger. Let's see where he fingered the girl. Okay, there we go. 10 reasons to visit a bog. Ari Matti fingers girls in this bog. Where?
At this part, there's a place where you could go for a swim.
You go in that little pool there, and there's not a lot of people walking around, right?
So No.
You have a view of the path in case
someone's
coming.
Beautiful.
So you're just in this bog fingering
some
Estonian model.
Exactly. What a life. In silence. You can hear everything.
Oh, the sound of fingering. So when you walk through a bog in Estonia, you can hear other people being fingered, like in the distance.
In the distance, maybe.
The moaning, the squirting.
Well, it wasn't a lot of moaning.
A lot of the bogs in Estonia are squirt. I read that. It's like not even natural water.
That's how
water.
We got them, yeah.
That's
our
incredible.
Models just keep squirting.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're now backpacking and you meet is this your first true love?
This is the thing. I was maybe 20, but she was 25. And you know, women mature much quicker.
Yes.
And she's also American, but she's like, she's got a Mexican mother. She's like insane. Mm. And she's artistic. And she was the first person when I still was doing my MMA thing, you know.
Right.
But let's just say the first year, you know, I had all that delusion. The first year I went 0-3 in MMA and started bombing at open mic. So reality came. Calling. But she really opened me up just creatively. She was like, you're not a fighter. You're the funniest guy I've met. You're a funny guy.
Right.
Why don't you
That's
do this
cool.
shit? And then randomly, we just move across the street from a comedy club in Melbourne. I got my a temporary 1-year work visa.
Yeah.
I went to an open mic, a workshop, you know, just to find out what this art form is. You know? We fell in love. My visa ran out. Our pass went in different directions because I really found out I want to do comedy. Within 2 months, there's a good friend of mine that I still talk to who I started with, in Melbourne. He still says that, holy shit, I saw you do your first open mic ever in your life. And you came off stage. I don't remember this, but he keeps telling me the story. He goes, I go, so what do you want to do in comedy? And I went, I want to go all the way. And he was like, well, okay, that's a weird thing to say after your first bombing. And I was bombing.
Yeah.
You know.
But you found your calling.
Yeah, I just felt like I want to do something.
And it was powerful enough.
Just
you
powerful
left
enough.
Your love for comedy.
Exactly.
And that was the first sacrifice on the altar of comedy. That
exactly.
was the first one you had to, and it is such a demanding God, isn't it? It wants everything.
This guy wants my mind and my body, huh?
Everything.
Yeah, I know,
Everything. That must have been brutal, though, because she kind of was the one who inspired you. She was sort of your muse.
100%.
And then because of that...
100%.
Do you still talk to her?
Absolutely. We still talk, She's still backpacking somewhere and fucking scamming people in Bali or something. I don't know. She's insane, which I love her.
Scamming?
You know, she's got government benefits from Australia and Mexico.
Well, whole backpacking culture, when you run into it, you have to come up with tricks.
I'm a pretty conservative suburban kid from Estonia, and she would teach me how to steal. She would be like, we steal from the corporates. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, if you go to self-checkout at a Whole Foods, fuck them.
Don't pay.
Take all the cash.
So she's kind of a communist.
Kind of.
Yeah, she's that new, I don't know if
the
it's
new
a new
hippie
form
communist.
Of, hippie communist.
Yeah, yeah.
Rationalizes theft because the corporations are stealing from the employees anyway. So why not, like, you know, get
exactly. I remember we need speakers for my birthday party. We need like speakers for the party.
Yeah.
And we put them through as carrots on the self checkout. You know, it's beep, put the carrots.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that they are losing so much money, but they're still breaking even by not having to pay
people.
Not
even breaking even. They're still making
money. They know.
They know.
They know they're getting ripped off.
Because even the because the thing is, if you hire a security guard, this guy has to now fight a homeless lady.
Right.
That's going to be a lawsuit. That's going to be a thing. Fuck the security. Take what you want. We're making so much money. We're fucking privatizing water in Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
Go take that fucking speaker.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
Fuck,
who
dude.
Fucking cares?
These children built the speaker. We have kids building the speaker and we're privatizing water. Oh, wow.
So, okay. So now it's starting to make sense. So that was it. You got bitten by the comedy.
It was insane.
Vampire. And you were now transforming into a comedian. And so you went back to Estonia?
Yeah, I did so I went to Thailand to also, I did some kickboxing there and I started featuring for a couple of guys who did the Southeast Circuit. There was the Bangkok Comedy Club that was very nice to me. I did some gig in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur.
Easy.
I did Myanmar, Cambodia.
What language were you doing?
English.
English.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know.
So I started in English.
This is insane because, like, if you were to make a list of the most improbable careers.
No, this is all insanity.
MMA is crazy.
And also, I started learning from comedy from my friend who's like, hey, do you know, because we watch UFC and Pride. Pride, you know, the organization, not the gay stuff.
I know what you mean.
I was watching the organization and he goes, hey, on Ustream, there's this guy. He goes, there's this guy, you know, the commentator, Joe, and I go, oh, you mean the Rogan guy, the commentator? He goes, yeah, on Ustream, he has a show that he just talks. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Tune in to episode 6. It's like Tom Segura, Joe Rogan, Brian Redman on the couch.
Wow.
I know Redman and Joe are my friends. That's like insane.
Is that weird? That must be so strange.
And I'm on a beach in Thailand listening, and that's how I'm finding out about comedy, about writing bits. I'm like, huh, okay, I see you. Maybe
you know, my wife told me that when she was in high school, she would listen to Rogan with her boyfriend. And it's just a strange thing to think. She probably heard me yapping.
100%.
And it's so bizarre.
I remember hearing, this was like in the news. Did you do a podcast with your mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a big one. I remember I listened to that one.
Wow.
That was powerful.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's this thing where we're all connecting in a new way. I mean, based on like the evolution of our species, this strange ability to have these connections with people, and you've never had a conversation with them, but you know them, and then you meet them sometimes, and then you have to overcome the vertigo or something of like actually like becoming friends with them because you already kind of felt like you were friends with them, but now you are. And you opened up for his Netflix special, right? I mean, so that's fucking nuts.
Like that storyline of...
Yeah, your storyline is so wild to me because, like, I guess you must have amazing parents because I'm trying to imagine...
Horrible. Oh,
really?
Ask me about my parents.
How are your parents?
Everyone's dead.
They're dead?
No, my mom was actually a sweetheart, but she died,
or
4 years ago. No, that's
sorry.
Fine.
That is still... Like, most parents are not going to be if you come to your parents, like, well, you know, I think I'm going to start pursuing professional fighting.
Uh-huh.
Most parents aren't going to support that.
Yeah. See,
did yours support that?
I just had a stepdad, drunk, kind of violent, not too bad. Nothing like fucked me under the bridge or something. Nothing real bad, but just unstable. And I think that's how my backpacking got started too, maybe. Just get out of there. Just change your environment.
Right.
You know? I love changing my environment. I'm almost addicted to it.
You're a traveler. Yeah. You're the like prototypical European traveler that anytime like I've gone out like to India or whatever,
we run into
you guys.
Yeah.
But we're always going home. You guys aren't going home.
I go nowhere.
You're timing your travels by the monsoons.
You know those intersections in India where everybody's going.
Yeah.
I'm the guy having the coffee with my legs crossed.
Yes.
Just enjoying the chaos.
Yes, that's so cool.
That's been my life.
And that is an outsider life. Like, that is the extreme outsider life, because you're watching tourists like me with their dumb backpacks, you know, confused, having fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not like, we're not the real thing. We're just there to get a little taste of something different. And then you all kind of flock together too. You generally, you'll run into like groups of Australian backpackers.
Mm-hmm. German,
you know what I mean?
Irish.
Israeli backpackers.
Yeah.
And they're just, they're not tied down the way most people are to the world. And it seems like this has been your story. It must be, because you're an Estonian in Texas. You're in Estonia. No, fucking, it's a weird,
I know.
It's a weird stop on whatever your trip is.
But that was my first girlfriend, really, because before I was a kind of a suburban kid that still had this obsession of control and fucking, I have my stuff. This is my stuff. This is my stuff. You know, I don't want nobody touching my stuff.
Right.
And I remember we got robbed in a hostel with Chene, that girl. We got robbed. And immediately, in my controlling, also young man, so you kind of have to protect your girl. You have all these... you have all these structures in your head that you're trying to, you know, I'm the supposed to be the guy. Somebody took my stuff. You know, so immediately I'm almost having a mental breakdown when we walk into the room.
Right.
Her first sentence, she looks at me and goes, oh, all her shit is gone. Huh, I guess less responsibilities.
Yeah, wow.
And it really took me a year with her to really learn about, dude, the less stuff, the better. All I need is my mind, you know. All I need is just to be me.
Yeah. Everything else is just like a stage, background, nothing. You don't care. But it is, you know, it's so easy to get attached to stuff.
Absolutely.
The sentimental feelings around stuff that if you didn't have it for a week, you'd never think about it again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But what a trap. I mean, that, talk about an actual bog. How many of us are just glued to this bog of matter? And the idea of setting out into the world the way that you have, it sounds like a movie or something. It doesn't sound like...
Because a lot of guys my age, when I started backpacking, I remember talking to my friends back home, you know, I would visit them and be like, why don't you come to Thailand with me? They're like, it's fucking $5,000. I could have a new fucking BMW for that. And I was like, BMW?
Yeah.
Or you could have the experience of crossing a river in India.
Yeah.
That experience is going to stay with me my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit in this BMW.
I know. You're not going to think. Like, yeah, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about cars that I have leased. But boy, I think about Varanasi all the time.
I think about that girl, Shanae, once a week.
Yeah.
Just of the experience we shared. Yeah. I think about Varanasi, of course. I think about Bali. I think about fucking almost getting kidnapped in Myanmar. Of course, those experiences.
You almost got kidnapped? How close?
I sat in a car. I needed to get across from Thailand to Cambodia. There's an area there that's they have tons of casinos. Nobody owns. It's like no man's land, you know?
Wow.
So it's terrible. It's shit. Everybody's trying to scam each other off. The last bus left. So I'm alone, white kid, and I'm the only white kid.
Wow.
And it's one of those times in the night where it's about 2 a.m. and everybody's turn. I can hear conversations about me being there.
Oh.
So you know something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Really nice guy with an old Mercedes stops by. He goes, you want to ride to Siem Reap, which is where I was going in Cambodia. It's a fucking 6-hour drive. But I'm European, so I'm like, you know, people are nice.
Yeah.
So I sit down in his back seat, and then he stops. Maybe 20 yards away, he stops. Some other guy gets in the front seat next to him. He has a gun. And immediately in my head, I go, oh, it's going to be Rape City. I'm going to get raped, fucked, everything. Everything's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, you would think that you have an immediate panic. But there's something, I remember, I was really calm for some reason, because you have to make rational decisions.
Right.
You have to be very careful what you say.
Yeah.
You know? And... The driver turns back. He goes, we're not going to Siem Reap. You know, starts off that. And in my head, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. The door's locked. Click. Goes into an alley. And then they both turn around and they start talking to me. And I can't even remember the conversation, because I'm literally having a meltdown, but at the same time, totally calm.
Okay, can I stop you there?
Because
I think you just came up with the best idea for a podcast, which is you kidnap Europeans. You just pull off. You have the gun. Doors locked. Like, listen, we just want to interview you for an hour. That would be incredible, man. So, yeah, I guess you're just like thinking, okay, I'm. You really think they wanted to rape you?
No, but just all the thoughts are going.
Right.
I'm like, oh, they're going to cut my limb, sell my dick
more
on the black market.
More likely they're going to sell your dick.
They're going to sell my dick on the black market, keep some for later. You know, keep my balls, boil my balls for grandmother.
Yep.
They're going to sell all my
Estonian
organs.
Estonian balls.
Then get all of my money from my mother. Yeah. You know, get your son back. Then I can send my ear to my mother as a warning.
Yep.
They're going to do the whole package, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So... And they're talking, they're asking, what are you doing, when are you going? And I'm just telling them, I missed the bus, you know, I was fucking in between the dead zone there. I missed the bus, whatever. And then they both look at each other and they go, they literally audibly go, they talk whatever, bang the bag, whatever the fuck they talk. And they go, and the door's unlocked. And they go, get the fuck out. Just because what they were doing is how much trouble this is.
Oh, yeah. You were just some broke backpacker.
Exactly.
They were hoping that you were
my baby blue eyes say, I'm going to call dad and he's going to come in a private jet.
Hey, there's no money.
Yeah.
Your stepdad is.
But my accent says clearly.
Yeah.
There ain't no dad.
Oh, that groan of disappointment when you realize you've kidnapped somebody who has no money.
Yeah.
That's got to suck, man.
Yeah.
You're getting so excited. And that groan tells you a lot because it's like, that's probably like, this is the second time tonight we've picked up someone who's
asshole.
Like,
then I go to a hotel.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Where the administrator, and I'm at this moment, I'm like, I gotta get out of here. But there's nothing, I just have to get off that street.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at me. I saw a lady take a shit in her hand, throw it at some old American man.
Why did you get a sense of what drove her to that moment? Was he being a dick or why did, or she just bored?
I don't know what the fuck was happening.
Right.
I go into this hotel, the administrator's already like, because apparently there's casinos, hookers, everything. And it's all these, the only white people I would see would be old American men that are just hauled. It's just a creepy place.
Yeah.
And a lot of dirt, the cars, everything. So I go into this hotel immediately, an administrator, and I find out at the hotel, I crossed the border illegally. I was looking for the toll booth.
Fuck.
But it's crossed. She's like, oh, you didn't do the thing? And she's like, we're not really a hotel. We're basically, you bang hookers here and you go home. And she goes, sure, I'll give you a room in the communal. I had such little money, of course. So I get a room in the communal hostel. Before I go to bed, she goes, hey, just put your passport in your pants and tie your backpack to your leg. So if they try to steal it, you can at least fight them. This is before I could try to take us. This is before I try to go to sleep. So, of course, I'm just with my backpack in my leg. sitting there like this. Wow. I'm in a hostel, in the bottom bunk. On the top bunk, some dude is going to town on a whore, and I'm along for the ride. Because it's a bunk bed, you know. You're like it's like somebody's driving a motorcycle, but you're in the sidecar. You know,
was it hot? Did you get kind of turned on?
No. Old 45-year-old man with missing teeth.
Okay.
And now probably a 10-year-old girl.
Oh, fuck. Okay, right. So that's a sad ride. That's a ride to hell.
I don't want to take this ride.
it's a terrible ride.
But I need a nap, dude. It's been a day. So with my backpack tied to my leg, I'm along, and I can feel him coming. And in the morning, I go to the administrator. I've been fucking witnessing rape and prostitution. I haven't slept. So I go to the administrator. I go like, I gotta get to see him rape. You know, I gotta get out of here. Because the reason I took it, it's the famous train route from Bangkok to Siem Reap. It takes 3 days. You take on a cargo train. And it's like an amazing journey. It pays $5. You're on a cargo train where people sell you a shower. You know how they sell you a shower? They have the little backpack with all the drapes.
No.
Yeah.
What?
And you stand on the car because the cargo train never stops. So you stand there. A guy puts like a drapes around you, and then he just pours water, and you pay him one American dollar. That's a shower you take on that train.
Oh, I bet it feels good though.
Oh, hell yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
Because the cargo train is all the dust is coming, all the windows are open. Okay. There's no air conditioning.
Here's my train story in India. I thought I was being fucking clever because in India, I don't know what it's like on those trains. In India, there's no, like, they don't have the same sense of like personal space that we have here. So they'll sleep on you. You're like a recliner to them or something.
Exactly.
So you're just crammed into this car because I don't know. Like, I think we'd read somewhere, if you want the real Indian train experience, don't do the first class cars, like go in the back. And like, you know, it's still incredible. Like, my friend had hash that he had gotten in New Delhi or Dharamsala, and like you'd sit and smoke hash and look out the train. But I was just like, I saw this empty place to sit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to go sit there, you know, and I'm sitting there for a little bit. And then, whoa, shit, I guess I spilled my water. And, you know, my pants are starting to get wet. It's piss just flowing out of the bathroom. And that's why nobody was sitting there, because it's like piss. So now I've got like Indian train piss soaked into my fucking pants. And there is no shower person there. You're just going to have piss, like Indian train piss on your pants for the remainder of the trip, which is a long fucking trip, to smell like other people's piss.
But that's what backpacking did. You have to just accept the loss of control.
Absolutely. Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Get
off the train?
Yeah. You're in the middle of like nowhere. It's
done. The decision is done.
It's done.
The path is chosen.
Surrender.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
And then I leave them. Oh, so in the morning, I go, Siem Reap. The lady goes, the first train leaves Monday and it's like Saturday. And I'm like, I can't. And she's literally like, oh, I might have somebody. A car pulls up. It's a family of Mongolians. How many Mongolians are in the car? Tell me. It's a 5-seater.
I'm going to go 8?
6.
Wow.
So I'm the 7th person in the car. I have a Mongolian child on my lap.
Wow.
And we go for a 6-hour drive to Siem Reap with these Mongolians. And they don't have passports. They're just going there for work or something. Wow. Only one of them, like a kid. This is the young kid's on my lap. I have to him.
Yeah.
And the other kid, the other kid is here. And she's the only person speaking a little English.
Right.
And I start drinking their vodka made of fucking corn vodka or some shit that the Mongolians do. And they're all bloated and red because they drink this vodka.
Wow.
And we just drive and I'm just laughing. We take, you know, stops and I just get hammered. And then at some point at night, we just get to see Siem Reap. They say, bye. You know, no phone. No, what's your IG? Not, you know, just never see you again.
You know
bye.
What we should do? You know, man, this life here. Why don't we just go?
Yeah.
I've got some money in the bank. Let's just get some backpacks and get the fuck out of this country. What do you say? We'll disappear. I can't shave my head anymore. I'll shave my beard. No one will know.
No one knows shit, though.
And we'll get the fuck out of here. Get back on the road again.
Yeah.
Become travelers again. Don't you feel that? Just that story.
Of course.
The pendulum.
Yeah.
From what sounds like
the 48
a level of hell. Like, it sounds like if you were describing a hell realm. That's what you were in. To suddenly you're in paradise. It's some kind of like incredible heavenly experience. Wow, man.
And then I go to Siem Reap and I'm having a cocktail at the hostel that has a small pool. Then a German girl blows me the night I arrive.
I'm gonna cry.
What are we doing? I almost got kidnapped, raped, butt fucked, organ donored. I just watched molestation.
You had crazy Mongolian vodka. And then like just like a kiss from God at the end.
Hey, how about this?
How about a German blowjob? Just to wrap it up for the last couple of days.
And you know what? Maybe a fucking during that same trip, I did a gig in Siem Reap because this was when I was already doing comedy a little bit. A little bit. I was like featuring for an American guy. You know who was in the audience?
Who?
Ari Shaffir.
Of course.
Because he was backpacking during that time.
Of course he was.
Of course it's Ari Shaffir.
Had to be.
Of course it's Ari Shaffir. And I'm doing my set bombing, by the way. I'm his hack. And I look, it's Ari Shaffir. And I remember thinking, I think that's Ari Shaffir. And then meeting him, and we just smoked a joint. And he went to his hostel, I went to my hostel.
Because, you know, like, what you just described sounds like a dream.
Yeah, for sure.
I
mean,
I would, that's the kind of dream I'd wake up from and just Ari in the audience while I'm bombing and the blowjob was cool and almost died. And, you know, that to me, what you just described is probably more what life is supposed to be like 100%. Than the way it is if you have like locked yourself into some pattern. And right now I have to lock myself in. I got kids.
Me too. I don't have kids, but I'm in a pattern, of course.
You have to. Of course. You have to go
I'm trying to achieve something.
Yeah, you have to.
Sacrifice.
You have to sacrifice that. But wow, man, that's Jack Kerouac. That's Hemingway.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all the great literature came from people throwing themselves out of their orbit, putting themselves in potentially deadly situations
100%.
And surviving it to come back and tell the stories.
Yeah.
Which is perfect for a comedian, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it like doing stand-up out there? How are you, like, what are the audiences like? Who are they?
It's expat. It's all perverts with a creepy Thai wife that doesn't speak English.
Expats are wild. Some of them are wild, man. Real interesting people.
I did a bit and I went to Pattaya. You know what Pattaya is?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's called the devil's asshole. Because everything you've ever wanted. Like if you're a pedophile Nazi rapist.
Okay.
This is home.
That's what I'm thinking. Of everything I ever wanted. Like it's not in the if devil's you're like a asshole. Guy. Oh, I see. Yeah. But you know what? Don't in Dante's Inferno. Don't you have to like climb down?
Yeah,
you like on the way out of hell, you are under the devil's asshole. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. You're gonna catch a glimpse of his weird, puckered, evil mm-hmm, taint. Mm-hmm.
And I did a gig there, and I'm like, I'm bombing because it's old British men, 55 sure. years old, and they're raping this young child. Basically,
so fucked up.
That's who's in the crowd.
And I don't think people understand, like, you're not being hyperbolic here.
No.
I don't think people understand. It's like that culture is so real out there.
Yeah.
And, like, completely, no one's stopping it. No one there seems to care because of the money, I guess, the expats are bringing in or something. Like, why don't they stop it?
No, because also in Thai culture and in, like, a culture of, like, I mean, imagine you're a Thai girl that your prospects of life are... You either do the path your mom and whatever they're doing,
right?
Or you find this guy and might have a ticket. I mean, you might actually raise your kids,
right?
You know.
So yeah. It's some kind of like awful way out.
Yeah, I guess it's all a matter of perspective. Awful to who? Awful to us, maybe, because we come from the land of fucking, you know, cookies and cream.
Yeah.
Of course, for us, it seems awful. But for them, it might be literally the best choice they have, you know?
Right.
And some of them don't know that that they have more choices. But when I've been in those hotels, like when I've gone to Thailand, there's been some moments where you see some, you know, fat lard of an American. It's always a fat lard with Crocs on who's the guy. You see him by the pool, and then you see the beautiful angel that he has, you know?
Right.
The beautiful. I mean, literally, an angel.
Yeah.
And they have kids, the beautiful kids, you know, the blue eyes, Thai, the dark complexion, but the blue eyes, it's beautiful, you know. And you look, oh, it's actually not that, you know, it's a life. But then sometimes by the pool, you'll see the mother by herself staring at her own reflection in the water.
Oh, Jesus.
And you can see it for a second where she's like, fuck.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to fucking kill me. This is a roller coaster, man. I might not survive this podcast.
So I was in Pattaya, emceeing, bombing, because I'm trying to be nice. I'm like, global warming, what is it? You know, I'm trying to, avocado, when is it ready? You know, almond, milk, how could it be milk? They don't have nipples, you know, all the usual, whatever. Whatever, shit. I'm bombing. And there's a headliner, Jonathan Atherton. This is the first time I work with him. He's dead now. Rest in peace. He was like a legend in the Southeast community. He got banned in Australia because he fought the stewardess high on PCP. Well, he says that he did some painkillers and saw the literal devil on the flight. That's his story. So he's like a crazy guy. He has a white suit on. White suit. He's side stage. And this is the first time I met Jonathan. When I meet him, he shakes my hand. He goes, hey, Ari. I'm like, hey, I might have a beer, you know, before the gig. I'm like, do you want a beer, Jonathan? He goes, I've changed my life. I'm never drinking again. You know, I'm like, wow, what a guy. When I'm on stage, I see him drinking a bottle of whiskey like this. And he's looking at me like this.
Oh, fuck.
And the audience is also, the avocado. Oh, yeah. And they look at him. They're like, is that the headline? No.
How'd he do?
He goes on stage. He drops the N-bomb immediately off the top, just to let him know. Standing go off the top. Wow. He goes, what's up, you fucking racist rapist? You know, just goes.
What's his name?
Jonathan Atherton, legend.
Will you pull up a picture of Jonathan Atherton, please?
Yeah, I mean, he spoke like 8 languages, lived in Myanmar, did heroin in Cambodia.
Wow.
He fucking started the scene in Malaysia.
What was his last name?
Atherton.
Atherton. Yeah, that's how he goes. That's my boy. I can't believe I'm bringing up Jonathan.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3. Create a financial goal, $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Wow.
This guy.
Oh, yeah, he's a maniac.
He's a maniac.
That is a maniac. Awesome, dude. Wow. You could just tell.
Love the guy.
It's cool seeing. Wow.
He actually settled down a bit later in his life. He had a very nice, fiance, and I went to his house for dinner. Like years later, he actually settled down later, and he was awesome.
See, there's Tom Rhodes, another trap. Like,
yeah,
international
I know Tom.
Comic.
I know Tom. Yeah.
So of course he's with that guy. Wow. So this subculture, this sect of comics. This is like the traveling comedians. These are the international comedians who are just like, who found a tour schedule that routes through expat communities.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was murdering on stage saying, yeah, whatever. And then at one point when he's murdering, because I was bombing and I'm side stage now with my little beer all fucking white faced. He like turns to me, goes, see, that's why the jokes aren't landing, Ari. They're a bunch of racists. All the guys go, ah. And he goes, they want to hear the real shit. How about these sand? You know, people are like, you know.
Fuck, man.
Because these are fucking expats.
Wow.
At one point, he's murdering a lady with short hair. She's like a nicer lady who probably was on vacation. Well, shouldn't be on vacation, but she thought, let's go and see some comedy, you know. She stands up and she's crying when she's standing up. She's like, you can't say these things, you know, because Jonathan's going off about Aboriginals, all right? We won, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
She stands up, you know, and you're a horrible person. You're a Jonathan goes, fuck you, you fucking cunt. You know, it's just, she storms out. This is my first time meeting Jonathan. The gig ends. He keeps drinking, of course. We play some pool. I go out with a couple of the waitresses there. We go to some bars. We play some pool. And the hotel was above the gig, the Lions pub. This is above the gig, right? So there's a hotel. And I go back to the hotel, to my room. I walk past Jonathan's room, and I'm hearing some sounds that are, like, insane coming from that room. But the door is cracked a little open. Kick it with my foot a little, just to see what's happening in that room.
Jonathan, make sure he's safe.
Jonathan, white suit, the top part still on, bottom missing, top part still on, and it's all because he started drinking red wine. His white suit is all covered in red wine. And he's banging a broad. And I look who the broad is.
No.
The lady stormed out. Jonathan's holding her hair and fucking the shit out of her. And she's, like, fuck me, you know.
Ultimate victory.
Bah, bah. And I just go to bed in my, and then.
Wow. Inspirational.
And then in the morning, I see Jonathan. Suit, another white suit, all clean. He goes, hey, how was your night? Just like. Hey.
Totally fine.
And he goes, yeah. I go, and I'm like having a mimosa for my hangover. I go, you want a mimosa? He's like, I don't drink. Oh, wow. I'm never drinking again.
Wow. How did you get booked on that show?
I knew a guy, Andrew, who was a Malaysian promoter. I got booked on some tours and gigs. That's how you just found gigs there.
Wow.
Because my visa ran out in Australia, so I needed to find a place. And at that time, Estonia didn't quite have a scene. When I came back, it just started bubbling. And I was really, within a year, I was able to start doing theaters in Estonia and change my act from English to Estonian, adapt it a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was just finding some gigs. I lived in Kuala Lumpur for 6 months at a hostel, doing just hosting gigs.
What do you get paid for a gig out there?
I got maybe some gigs were good, $250 a gig, which can last you
forever,
a month in Asia.
That's incredible. You know? Yeah.
In Southeast Asia.
So that sort of group of like international traveling gonzo miscreant comics.
Mm-hmm.
What do they think of the sort of more traditional, like, American comedian path? Like, do they look down on it? Or is there a sense of, like, ugh?
There's another guy I know, Jim. He's from Florida, black guy. He moved to Macau, China. You know Macau? It's the fake Vegas.
I didn't know. I heard the name, but I didn't know it was fake Vegas.
It's fake Vegas. They have the fake Luxor. They have the fake MGM Grand. They have everything the fake.
Oh, that's so weird.
And he does a 600-seater theater there for the past 20 years, maybe.
Wow.
And I did a gig with him maybe 6-7 years ago. He's like Florida black guy. And he's a superhero there. He walks around, Asian people clap, they take pictures, hang off there his arms, you know.
He does his act in English?
Yeah. But it's all the tourists and whatever. But he also speaks Chinese. He dips into the, you know, the traditional version how to do comedy there is you do the setup in English and then the punchline, pow, you know, you go. And then the people lose their mind.
So crazy.
So that's what he would do. I mean, a black guy speaking Chinese, I'm going to jump off the balcony if I hear that. Of course, it's funny. and I remember like 5-6 years ago, and I was already, you know, I was, this was my like first trip back since I started there. And I'm talking to him, like, happy to see you. We go to the restaurant. And I go like, I talk about a little bit of the Rogan experience. I talk about the podcast world. Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's like, how's Jeff Dunham doing? You know, that's
right.
So he's not even.
Right.
And I know. And he does cruise ships and stuff, you know. And I know. The American, he's not after the grind. The bits are hack. I know. But isn't it wonderful that this art form, you can find a place in life through this art form anywhere.
Yes.
Jim is somewhere in Macau right now drinking a margarita.
Yeah.
and crushing in front of 600 people
in
every
like
night.
Some like what's weird. Okay, what's very weird about the Macau Vegas, which I didn't even know existed there. I've seen pictures of it, but I didn't know that's where it was. Is Vegas is a replica of a bunch of different places.
Yes.
So now you have a replica of a replica. That is so trippy. And then to be some dude from Florida, famous in synthetic
made up
Vegas.
World. Yeah.
What a mind fuck.
What a mind fuck.
What's his name?
I don't want to say his name because I don't know.
No problem. No problem. But can you pull up Macau Vegas? I just want to see pictures of it. Uh-huh. Let's take a look at this. Wow, man. Yeah, I agree with you though. It's such an incredible thing.
There's Macau, C-A-U, Macau. Go China. If you go Macau Vegas, it's gonna show. Like,
there you go. Like,
oh yeah, here we go.
Las Vegas of the East. Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it looks nicer than Vegas. Look at that. Holy shit, man.
Yeah, this is where this gym guy lives. He does the local casino. He walks down the Venetian, the fake Venetian.
Oh, my God. That's so weird.
So funny.
No, that's Vegas. That's not. They don't have a fabulous.
No, this isn't the Wynn Hotel. That's in Macau.
No, what?
But it's the fake Wynn. But they just do the everything. They replica. Look, the Paris thingy fucking.
What the fuck? That dude, I would lose my. Like, if I got on drugs. I guess you're not going to do drugs in China. It's really dangerous. But if I was tripping in Macau.
Yeah.
I think I'd go crazy.
I know, yeah. Because
I'd start thinking, no, I am in Vegas. But no, I'm in China.
In China.
With Ari. How did I end up here? What's happening to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think the whole, like, what happens is whatever cultural bubble you live in, it crystallizes into this is reality. This is the truth. Like, and then when you're a traveler like you are, that bubble gets popped because suddenly you realize, no, that's just one tiny little reality tunnel compared to the whole world and all these other reality tunnels
all these
exist
other realities.
Simultaneously. It's basically parallel universes. Like if you really want to like
100%.
It's a multiverse. The multiverse isn't, I mean, maybe there is a multiverse and you can like jump from one timeline to the next, but if you want the real multiverse, just travel and you go into alter. When I went to India, that was what I thought is like, this is an alternate reality.
For sure.
This is not the reality I was in. This is an alien, completely different reality. Mm-hmm. And no one gives a shit about whatever the fuck was going on where I'm from.
Yeah, exactly.
Here. And the way it works there is totally different. The way traffic works there shouldn't work. There should be horrible accidents every few minutes there.
Well, there is.
Oh, yeah. I guess you're right there.
I literally remember having this thought in Thailand. Being high on my, I bought a little motorbike in Thailand. I was riding my little motorbike. This was my maybe first month there when I moved there for a bit. And I was riding around high. And literally, I watched the traffic. I'm like, the human experience is an organism. And the traffic lights are a scam to control us.
Yeah.
And then within a minute, I drive past like, it's like a scooter accident that hit a truck. Ugh. But it's a Thai scooter. So it's a family of seven. And the baby shoes, the bloody baby shoes are all over the road. A small little bag for the small little baby that's dead. And I go, maybe we do need a light. And then I go home and it's the number one traffic fucking accident. Everybody dies there in traffic.
I love you. Ari Matty, thank you so much
for having me.
Man.
I'm a big fan, Duncan. You're so funny.
Oh, dude, I'm a big fan. You just blew everyone's mind. And I don't know how we're going to end it on anything more poignant and terrible and awesome than that. And wow, if you, I know you're doing shows in Austin right now. So I hope folks, if you're out here, come and see him at the Mothership. And wow, man, I hope you'll come back on the show.
Fuck yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I had so much fun here. And you're a great guy. You have your podcast with Jamar. Did you do a podcast with Jamar? Yeah, amazing.
Thank you. He's awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Jamar's a guy, when I see him at the Mothership, I go, he's the only comedian who I see there and I'm like, you have other shit going on other than comedy.
Oh my God. Like
you don't need even this.
He's a boxer. Did you know that about him?
Boxer, artist. He goes to like the private part. He paints.
He's a clown.
He's a clown. He's everything.
He's got a lot going on. Probably more than we'll ever know. I wouldn't be surprised if he does like covert shit for like Born Identity stuff.
100%.
I would not be shocked.
100%.
Awesome, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Dude, you are real good at podcasts.
Thanks.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SpinQuest Social Casino. The new year may be coming to an end, but the excitement never does on SpinQuest.com. With live blackjack, craps, and so many slots, and jackpots that don't need a countdown. Your New Year's resolution is more fun on SpinQuest.com. New year and new players right now get $30 coin packs for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That was Ari Matty, everybody. Go check him out at arimatty.com, or you can watch him on Kill Tony, or hopefully you can see him do some stand-up because he's so funny. And thank you to my sponsors, and thank you to you, my sweet friends, for listening. Subscribe! Let us defeat Mr. Beast. Until next time, I bid you hunatala. That means goodbye. Finish. Hunatana. Hunatana.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.